What's going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 61 of the MM Arcade podcast. It wouldn't be an MM Arcade podcast without technical issues, Rob.
My microphone got disconnected in the USB behind. Kids must have pulled it out or kicked it out. I don't know. It's like, I was for sure thinking like tonight was a write-off once again.
We almost got there. No, we're here though. We're chatting. And yeah, also soon after UFC London. So hopefully the views are good with how timely we're being. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And you know there's problems when we start Googling like Roadcaster not showing up.
Download this app.
Yeah. But we got there. Here we are.
We got there in the end, and obviously we're going to be recapping UFC Fight Night in London, talking about our predictions for UFC Fight Night in Mexico City. So if you are new to the channel, please do like and subscribe. Subscribing is really important. Rob really wants to get that 100K plaque. We're getting there.
Dude,
we're
Johnny's just throwing it in my face.
It's not even up behind me, man.
It's been thrown.
Where is it?
It's been thrown in my face for years, and I just feel like I need one. You know, like to be relevant, to give me the confidence to stay here.
All right. Subscribe
for Rob.
Do you know what that reminds me of? Have you seen that video of Mighty Mouse when he wins? He like defended his title, right? And he had no reaction. And then it cuts to him beating Elden Ring and he's more hyped about beating Elden
Super
Ring.
Super pumped. Super pumped.
I'm getting those vibes of this one. But yes, we are going to be talking about UFC Fight Night in London, of course. Let's start off with the main event. Sean Brady submitting Leon.
Before we go too far, okay?
Sure.
I'm just going to, for one, let me just say thank you to all our subs and listeners and commenters, people that comment on the last video. I go through them. I think they're hilarious. And I love the fact that you guys can see that we're very lighthearted. We're very chill. If you wanted super deep analytics, you're in the wrong place. But if you wanted to have like a good chat, we talk about the mainstream environment of MMA. We're both big fans, both study the craft. So and you guys can see the format. Like you guys see it. I see the comments. We're just chilling. It's fun. And I respect you guys for understanding that. This card, UFC Fight Night London, I missed it. I had some commitments I had to do. I missed the card. All right. Came back home. Done everything we had to do. Went to study for the podcast, mate. Every fight was decision. I'm not watching 4 hours of fights for this podcast. Like, I'm sorry. I can't give you that. Okay. There's as well as because I know how it ends. There's like nothing in there. Like just drawing me to do it. So I watched the main event, I watched the co-main event, and that's as good as you'll get this week. I apologize to everybody below that on the card, everybody that tuned in wanting to hear me talk about X fight second on the card at the start of the night. Okay, I'm sorry. Apologize in advance. Continue, Johnny, please.
I was trying to protect you, man. I'll never call you out. You're the one consistently calling yourself out when you're not watching a card. I was just going to be like, and we had some other fights. Kevin Holland was good. And that was it.
There's no need, dude. Like, it's cool. Like, I'm sure a lot of people just tune in for these little bits anyway, right?
Yeah.
They're like, okay, Rob said that. Maybe they enjoy it because I don't take an hour breaking down a fight. I don't know, but here we are, UFC London.
Here we are. And look, there are so many other channels that provide that super in-depth technical breakdown. So let's provide what we do usually with this fight. Sean Brady submitting Leon Edwards in the fourth round via guillotine choke. Rob, you and I were both on point with our predictions for this one. What do you think of the fight?
Mate, it's exactly what we said in our predictions. Just Sean Brady was gonna run him down, get him to the ground, and just take advantage of him. And like, I don't know, because Leon Edwards is so good if you give him the space to work his magic. If you play in that mid range where he'll keep you all week and take advantage of you.
Yeah,
Brady did so well out of the gate, working on kicks when he was at distance. And then, like, pushing into that space, pushing Edwards back and just walking him down, you know, like making it awkward, making it a dogfight, which is, like, it's Leon Edwards' kryptonite is dogfights.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised with how, like, I know we both said that Sean Brady was going to win, but we were umming and ahhing a little bit, which Leon Edwards is going to show up, the one that fought Usman the second time or the one that fought Bilal, right? But it was so dominant. Like, arguably, some of those rounds were 10-8. Leon threw no significant strikes in the second round, obviously gets submitted in the fourth. He had no answer.
He spent 4 minutes and 47, like 57 seconds on his back, dude. Like,
yeah. Mate, were you surprised?
Well, not really, because I guess we, as we said in our predictions, we came into it thinking, which Edwards are we going to see? And within about 30 seconds, I was like, ah, this one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, it's got to the point, like, I don't like what the fans said. I was like, now you see a post there, like, Edwards is now officially washed. Nah, dude, he's fighting the best in the world, for one. So have some respect. For two, though, I do want to look at, though, that performance against Usman the second time, okay? Because so if we take that out of the equation, we wouldn't have even been umming and ahhing about this fight, I don't think.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not. You're not.
So,
you're absolutely right.
So what happened? What made that fight so well? Was it – do we dissect that fight more about Leon Edwards, or do we – you know what I mean? Or are there other variables? You know where I'm going with this?
No, I do. I do. I think it's also partly the fact that Bilal did figure out Leon, and Sean Brady knew how to capitalize on that. Like, he clearly did his research. People keep saying that, and don't get me wrong, Sean Brady coming in on short notice, incredibly impressive, right? But he wanted this fight. And I think he said it on Ariel Helwani's podcast that he was gunning for this fight. He kept asking for it. When he keeps asking for the fight, clearly he's doing his homework and he's getting ready, because he knows there's a chance the UFC would actually put it together. And then the fight actually gets made. I think he's really prepared in that regard. And he knew exactly what to do. Do something similar to what Bilal did. The difference being, he actually has really good submission game and actually really good ground and pound. The ground and pound that he was landing, and I was so happy with this, because people used to call Sean Brady like pillow hands and that he's boring and da-da-da-da. But this is the kind of grappling that we want to see. No, yeah. Not just taking down for taking down's sake, but the constant ground and pound was brutal, man. So you've got to give him all the respect in the world.
100%. And he did so well at establishing open mat takedowns. I think he saw that. How well Leon defended the takedowns against Usman that second fight on the fence.
Yeah.
And he established the takedowns in open mat. Yeah, sometimes they went to the fence and he worked from there, but they were established a lot of times by pushing him back, by running up on him and walking him down. Leon Edwards, let's also look at Sean Brady's – Leon Edwards to Sean Brady is a match made in heaven.
Like, yeah, for Sean.
Like, if you could draw up a character that you want to fight that is as, like, in your advantage stylistically, I think that's the fight to make. Like, exactly what he said. Like, Bilal really highlighted the blueprint to beating Leon Edwards. And but in saying that, so many people have done that before as well, giving him a hard time by pushing into his space and making him uncomfortable. Okay?
Yeah.
It's as Sean Brady did to a ticket. He was closing that space. He was walking him down. He was throwing unorthodox punches and bunches. He was mixing and clinching. And then once he started establishing takedowns, and once the threat of the open mat takedown was there, he took him down the first time he shot, really. So he just controlled that fight. He controlled that fight so well.
I really was impressed, especially in the first round with his inside boxing too. Like, he was landing pretty clean on Leon. So it wasn't just the grappling, but it was also the stand-up game as well. I've got to say, I was watching a few videos on the way home today, and I was thinking, this was such a dominant performance, right? Against, remember, who is probably for the next day or so until they update the rankings, Leon Edwards is the number one contender in the division. And we've seen in previous divisions, Umar, for instance, you beat the number one contender, you go to the first spot, right? That's happened several times before. Sean Brady should be the number one contender now, above the likes of Shavkat Rakhmonov. And his victory against Leon Edwards was way more impressive than Shavkat's one against Ian Garry. Surely, Sean Brady's just bullied himself into a title shot, no?
What? Tricky. tricky because they want that shove cut fight to happen. Unlike
they do
they
before
really want that shove cut
before Sean Brady just dominated the previous champion for four rounds.
The welterweight division is in a real transitional period, isn't it? So JDM's fighting Bilal soonish. Then we got shove cut in the works. Then
he's still injured.
Now Sean Brady has just entered the mix.
Yep.
So like I think. And after losing the way he lost to Sean Brady, I think Leon now has stepped down out of that conversation for now.
I agree.
Who else do you think? Like, I think they're the big four right now.
This is my honest opinion on it. All right, if JDM beats Bilal Muhammad, Islam Makhachev's fighting. Islam Makhachev is moving up, and he's getting his double champ shot. He's absolutely earned it. Like. In my mind, there's no denying it at this stage that he deserves that opportunity. So if that happens, then in my opinion, you kind of have to have Shavkat versus Sean Brady for the number one contender spot because they're not going to wait that long. They're not going to wait another year to fight again. So then they have the number one contender's opportunity, and then whoever wins will fight the winner of JDM and Islam.
You know, now that makes super sense.
I reckon it could happen, but obviously Bilal could also beat JDM. But even in that case, I still think we should have Sean Brady versus Shavkat Rakhmonov because there is a fight upcoming either way. And it also depends on whether Shavkat is like seriously, seriously injured. If he can't fight for a while, then Sean Brady didn't take any damage. Walk him right into the opportunity. If he's ready to go in a few months, then you can have the number one contender's opportunity. So I think that's only fair given how dominant the performance was for Sean Brady.
I'm so curious about that fight between Sean Brady and Shavkat.
It'd be good, right?
It'd be a good fight. I think it'd be a very hard fight for Brady.
I don't know, man. I think Brady can get it done. I really think
he can, but mate, you want a dog fight? Sean Brady, like, he's a bit of a dog fighter, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Shavkat loves that. Loves it.
He does, but you know you know how Shavkat fights. Like, he likes to get into the clinch, get someone against the fence and work them way down. I don't think he's going to – like, Sean Brady is small, but he's freaking strong and he's stocky. I don't see Shavkat doing that to him. Super I really don't. Powerful. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. The welterweight division has now been mixed up a little bit. There's a lot of people biting, like just biting at the – nipping at the bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. But obviously, next up, Bilal Muhammad, JDM. I'm still rooting for JDM, but man, we're seeing so many wrestlers nowadays
It's a changing of the era, isn't it? It's just like, guys have just gone back to that, like, wrestle mauling period. Like
Look, it's effective, and we keep talking about it on the cast, so you've got to be well-rounded in the game right now. So let's see what happens. But Leon Edwards, by the way, before we close on this, what does he do? Because I'm sick and tired of people saying he's washed and he should retire. He was undefeated for freaking 10 years, man. Like, he's had a couple of losses. It happens, all right? But there's a few fights that he could still have. He's not in the conversation, obviously, for a title anymore unless he gets a couple of fights under his wings. But what do you reckon Leon Edwards should do? Take some time or try and get back into it?
You know what? And I don't want to look into this too much, but I think there might be some sort of mental hurdles Leon Edwards is facing, you know, or challenging since winning the title, since being the champion, since coming back and losing the title to those tough fights. So having lost the last two fights more or less the same way.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that really takes it out of someone, especially when, like, in a game like fighting where confidence is so important. You know, I think he's got to try and step back, reinvent some things, change the pacing of things, freshen some things up, and then find a new love, a new goal. Because there's a lot of guys that hit the top of the ladder and then realize that it's like they've achieved their goal. They've achieved their dream. And then they, like, once you achieve that, you need to find a new one. Otherwise, you know, you're not really fighting for anything at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to see him back.
I think he needs to deal with that part of it. Just looking from the outside, I might be completely wrong, and he's cool, and he's just going to jump straight back in the saddle and punch on next month. But from seeing the last two fights, seeing the way he lost the last two fights, from seeing like losing that way sucks.
Yeah.
You know, he's spent 9 rounds on his back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and then, and one of them lost him the title. Yeah. One, it's, yeah, I think he needs to just reinvent himself a little bit, come back fresh, maybe take some time off. He's a year younger than me. He's got time still. Maybe yeah. take a little bit of a grace period and then come back and fight guys like Shavkat. You see, I think a Shavkat's a good fight for him.
Yeah. I saw someone shout out him versus Ian Garry. I think that could be a good fight. You could have that in London again.
Definitely, definitely. You know? Just yeah, exactly, exactly. You see, and then those a win gets him talking again, gets him in those conversations, gets him in those mm-hmm. sentences.
Yeah, I hope that he does go away and kind of rethink things, because the big talking point, and he was talking about this in the lead up to this fight. He kept blaming and kept at least partly attributing the previous fight with Belal because of the 5 a.m. start. That's not there anymore. So, like, there's kind of no excuses in that regard now. I think he's got to seriously go away and think about try get mentally back into the game. So I completely agree. Let's see what he does, because I think the division is definitely better off with him in it.
Like I said, he's a year younger than me, and he's yeah. a sniper. He's got super elite fighting. Yeah. He's got to give people, like that second fight, the way he controlled the space, the way he punished his opponents for stepping into that space. He needs yeah. that. He needs to get that way of controlling that space again. I feel like he's lost control of that space in the last two fights.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens. Hopefully he does return somewhat soon. He didn't seemingly anyways take crazy amounts of like damage. I don't think he had anything broken or anything, but he was submitted. So let's see what happens. Let's see when he jumps back in. But obviously in the co-main, we had Carlos Ullberg defeating Jan Blachowicz by decision. Some people are calling this complete robbery and very controversial. Rob, what was your thoughts on the fight?
Mate, whenever you leave it to the judges, it's yeah. it can always be like and it's a close fight. There's always going to be debate mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Now, this is tricky because of like when we start talking about things like effective strikes.
Mm.
I'll ask you just from your opinion, mate, who looked like they were winning?
If I look at the definition of like the rules, the criteria when it comes to judging, it's effective striking and grappling, aggression, then controls right at the end. You have to give it to Jan Blachowicz because Jan's punching, he was constantly moving forward. Ullberg was always on the back foot, and a lot of his, like, compare the kicking, for instance. There was a lot mm-hmm. of kicks in this fight.
Jan was smacking him.
Yeah, so many, right? But compare Jan's kicks versus Ullberg. Mm-hmm. Ullberg's kicks were kind of like pattering Jan on the leg, but Jan was smashing his thigh, right? Like yeah. smashing his leg into Ullberg's thigh. I thought that looked more impressive. Mm-hmm. And then on the hands, like, I still think Jan was loading up the bigger shots. It kind of reminded me, not so much, but it reminded me of Drickus and Sean Strickland when, yeah, Sean Strickland outlanded Drickus, but I thought Drickus's punches were more impactful. I kind of got a similar sense in the third round with this, and ultimately it does come down to the third because Jan won the first, Ullberg clearly won the second. I would slightly give the edge to Jan. Do I think it's a robbery? No. It could have gone either way, and we know how it goes with the judges, mm-hmm. but I would have given it to Jan personally.
Yeah, it's tricky, and whenever you're in a close fight like this, that's why the Carlos's stylistically going into this fight with Jan like that. They're yep. like stinging him, moving away, controlling the space, stinging him, moving away. Like it's over 3 rounds, and there aren't a lot of effective strikes. This very well could have been Carlos's win. I mean, Jan's win.
Yeah.
Very easily could have swung the other way. It's so dangerous to leave it in the hands of the judges for such a tight fight like this.
Yeah.
But I can't I think potentially Carlos could have been wary of a potential takedown as well. You know, but Jan didn't. Like,
he didn't throw really. Mate. So like after this middle of the second round, like what are you being worried about if that was the case?
They were both very hesitant, weren't they?
It was such a defensive fight. Like I get it. They were being defensively responsible, but I was a bit underwhelmed at the end. I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit underwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's It's hard. And I don't know whether or not this is because Jan makes this sort of fight. Because we've seen people have like good fights, like Anchor Live, have fights with Jan, and then it gets called a snooze fest and draw. I think Jan is just, I think he's that dangerous. I think he's like those, he's like the sort of fight that just a bit awkward, big guy, hits hard, very hard to put away. I think maybe he makes like fights that could be exciting. Like I think he makes fights, like fighters, wearier than they would normally be.
I think so. I think that's part of it. Like, and it just maybe his ring positioning, maybe his posture. I don't know that he kind of gives off that energy. But I also recall Ullberg's last fight against Ozdemir, and I don't know, man. Like, Ullberg has power, I just at times I was screaming at the TV, just freaking throw your hands, man. Because and we might be forced in that situation because in all likelihood he's probably going to fight Jiří next. Jiří's probably in line. That's a great number one contender spot, you know, while Pereira fights Magomed again. He's going to have to throw then. There's no way around it. He's going to come up against the samurai. So I am looking forward to that fight. I get what you're saying, though.
Yep.
So,
mate, that fight, Ullberg Jiří. How do you prepare for Jiří?
You go into the forest and you punch trees. Like, you train like Jiří trains.
I don't know. You had someone to throw things at you, like while your eyes are closed. What a tough fight. I don't know. Congratulations to Ullberg. I was rooting for him. Haven't trained with him, you know, recently. Tricky fight to judge. Very hairy.
It was close though. It wasn't a robbery. I'm so tired of the word. Like, I thought Jan won, but I'm not calling it a robbery because, as you said, Rob, when you leave fights like that that are so close, very close significant strikes up to the judges, they could go either way.
Yeah.
And all three judges went for Ullberg. So clearly, like, I don't know.
There's no easy answer. And you remember, everyone's got to remember they don't have a view of the fights from the comfort of their couch. And the 900 cameras circling the octagon, like they're sitting there watching the fight live, and I'm sure that looks a lot differently.
It's funny that you mentioned that, and don't get me wrong, Weasel, I freaking love you, man. I love he does these breakdowns where he like analyzes close rounds, and he'll determine what's a light strike, medium, and heavy strike, and then tally them up and figure out who actually won the round. But obviously, the judges can't do that in real time, right? And we all know that, so part of me wants to give them a little bit of slack, but I don't think I need to give them slack on this one. This one was just a close fight. I don't think it was robbery territory.
It was a close fight, and it was left in the hands of the judges.
That's
how cookie crumbles sometimes.
So let's see what happens next in the light heavyweight division. Obviously, we had some other fights that Rob didn't watch. But I will say, Rob, Kevin Holland looked decent against Gunnar Nelson. He looked pretty good.
Is he back? Tell me if he's back. Is he back? Or was he ever here?
That's hard to answer until I see another fight of his. Because that's how he does. Like, you know, he'll have a win and then he'll have a couple of losses. And,
Gunnar Nelson, how old is he now?
Actually, how old is
he? Younger than me.
Gunnar.
Sure. Nah, he's a couple years older.
Yeah.
Gunnar's been fighting forever too.
He has. I'm not going to say definitively that Kevin Holland's back, but he did look good. He dropped Gunnar Nelson. Mm-hmm. He really, like, this has happened a couple of times with Kevin Holland. He was caught in a submission and he put his thumbs up. He's like, I'm fine. Yeah. Just give me a few seconds and I'll get out of this. So he actually looked pretty decent. But overall, Rob, this UFC London card didn't have one knockout. When's the last time that happened? All decisions and submissions.
I don't know. And I was mentioning that at the beginning of the beginning of the cast. Like, I don't have 3 hours to research this card. I saw that. I saw Molly Meatball retired.
She retired. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I just remember her. Wasn't she like bit loose and crazy with like Patty at a stage?
Yeah.
Is that's her, right?
Yeah, and I'm not surprised that she decided to hang up the gloves. But she was only in the UFC for like 3 years or something.
Yeah,
right?
I feel like she doesn't have like a huge list.
I could be wrong.
It's okay. Yeah. Like, I'm just kind of off a thing I saw.
Well, let's see what happens next with everyone that fought at UFC London. But this weekend, Rob, we have another Fight Night card. And this one, man, there's so many good fights on this card. I'm genuinely excited. And it's a Mexican card. We're going to have knockouts everywhere. If it doesn't happen, I'll be very disappointed. But in the main event, we've got a banger of a fight. Brandon Moreno versus Steve Ursek. Wonderboy is back. Very excited. Brandon Moreno, 22 wins, 8 losses. He obviously just destroyed Amir Albazi. That was very impressive. And then he had very close losses, split decision losses to Roy Val and Pantoja. Steve Ursek, 12 wins, 3 losses. Obviously, he's coming off the loss against Kaikara France, where he was knocked out, and the very close decision loss for the title against Pantoja. Rob, what do you reckon of Moreno versus Steve Ursek?
I think he's going to be a banger of a fight, an absolute banger of a fight. Moreno always brings it, and Steve always brings it as well. And I think stylistically, they're quite similar in styles.
Yeah.
They have that, they like that tight-knit boxing. They like that forward pressure. And yeah, it's going to be a really good fight, man. I'm just thinking of things Brandon's so good. He's such a high level. And I'm really curious to see how Steve goes in there after he's lost to Kai, because I thought he was fighting really well against Kai. He just got caught. And obviously against Pantoja, like one of those, just like we just said before, left in as the judges very well could have gone the other way. I'm curious. I think this is going to be a hard fight for Steve. I think because Moreno obviously likes mixing it up in the fight. He utilizes that tight mic boxing and he's very happy to push into takedowns, single legs, and utilize his grappling there. But I don't know. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I am very excited too. And I'm so excited. Like, I don't want to pick a winner because I really like Moreno, but obviously I like Steve Ursek. And ultimately, I'm going to go with him because he's Aussie. Before he fought Pantoja, I seriously do believe that he can become a champion one day.
Oh, definitely.
He just needs to take a step back and obviously reevaluate things against, especially after the Kaikara France fight. From memory, he was stepping back and utilizing that to avoid Kai's strikes. Mm-hmm. And you just can't do that against Kai. So hopefully he's learned a little bit more about positioning, about, you know, his movement in the ring. But I really think he has a strong chance against Moreno, man. I really do. Like, Steve Ursek's boxing is so freaking next level.
It's so
And good. I did the interview with him on the channel a few weeks back. And he's like, I know that it can be a mixed martial arts fight. I know, obviously, Brandon Moreno has the ability to shoot, has the ability to grapple. But it feels like those two are just going to stand there and bang. Mm. And I think there's a decent chance that one of them gets knocked out. I really do. I don't know if this is going to go to decision.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm curious about. It's like how well Steve's boxing lines up with Moreno's, because Moreno's an outstanding boxer for MMA. So, you know, with that Kai loss, just to his defense, right? I think that was, is that his fourth UFC fight?
He was fast-tracked, man.
I think he fought Pantoja in 3 fights. And then, he's gone straight to the cutting board out of the gate.
Yep.
You know, and now after Kai, he's fighting Moreno.
So he had, 3 UFC fights and fights Pantoja for the title. He was fast-tracked, one of the fastest ones that I've seen in recent memory.
So he's had to learn on the go. But I think I'm much with you that Steve has everything to become the next champion as well.
Yeah. He's just getting hot. Pantoja, Kai, and now Brandon Moreno. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure he loves being given the opportunities, but goddamn, like, sometimes you do need a little bit of a learning curve until you fight the big boys.
Well, but a win against Moreno keeps him in that conversation, like, makes him number one contender again.
Could you imagine? Here's the thing, right? Let me pull up the rankings. If he wins, because right now, bloody hell, there are too many divisions here. So Moreno is ranked 2nd, right? And obviously Moreno just beat Albazi. Now, if Steve Ursek, who's ranked 8th, does beat Moreno, by that logic, you need to put him above Moreno. But then he can't go above Kaikara France. But I reckon what you could do, you could have Kai at 2, Steve Ursek at 3, Moreno then Amir. It's weird, man.
Will they move Kai up if he beats Moreno?
They've done that before. I can't remember which division it was, but they've done it where, you know, a fighter who literally wasn't in a weekend's fight, but because of positionings and everything, that person's been moved up because of a recent win, because it doesn't make sense to put someone who just won above that person. I can't remember the example. Let me know in the comments below. But I think it only makes sense. You can't have Steve, after a win with Moreno, go above Kai, who knocked him out, right? Mm-hmm. And Kai's probably in line for the title. So just make him second or first or whatever it might be. It's interesting, though. The rankings don't make sense anyways. Bring the AI ranking. That's what I say. Rob, what's your final prediction for the fight?
I'm going Steve. I've said we're biased as well. I like Steve. He's an Aussie. He's one of us. He's a cool guy as well. So as well, I think, like, I do think he has the skill sets to beat Moreno.
Same. But the rest of this card, man, you got Manuel Torres against Drew Dober, Kevin Gastelum against Joe Pfeiffer, Raul Rosas Jr. against Vince Morales as well. I love seeing Raul Rosas fight, man.
So Gastelum's a middleweight again.
I'm going to confirm that because you asked before.
Or is Joe Pfeiffer? Joe Pfeiffer's a middleweight.
Yeah, so it is middleweight fight. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. That must be so hard, just going up and down, up and down.
Well, I get why he moved back down, but just his, and this is not me shaming here, but the way his body is built, he is a middleweight. He just can't drop down further. It's clearly very hard for him, and I think it's the better division for him.
Yeah.
But it's a hard fight against Joe Pfeiffer. So I don't know how he goes, man. Let us know your predictions and thoughts in the comments below. But finally, on the UFC front, Rob, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. So there's been a lot of talk this week, especially with the UFC being in London, especially with Tommy Aspinall being there as well. Been a lot of talk and rumors and everything about John Jones versus Tommy Aspinall. And reportedly, according to Ariel Helwani, John Jones wants 6 months to prepare for the Aspinall fight once the contract is signed, once it's locked in. So not from now, when they actually get the contract squared away. He wants 6 months to prepare. What do you think about that? What do you think about a six-month fight camp?
I can... It's hard. I can... At this point right now, I can kind of see John Jones just trolling the hell out of Tom Aspinall, dude. Like, I can see him... Like signing it, doing 5 months, and then just retiring.
Like, he gets an injury and he retires. I see it too.
Like, I can, I think he's trolling him at this point. Like,
yeah,
it's rough. But yeah, that's a fight everybody wants, though. Everybody wants. And Aspinall's just wasting away.
He is wasting away, man. Like, if they do fight in 6 months, that would have been well over a year since the last time Tommy has fought. But here's the problem, Rob. Here's the problem. If not John Jones, with Pereira losing, who the hell would Tommy Aspinall fight? Freaking Gunn? Volkov? Yeah, like, come on.
I'm still a bit filthy with that Gunn Volkov.
So am I. Volkov was hard done by, bro. So I was pissed off.
I reckon... But then... Aspinall fighting Jones would have to be one of the biggest things he could do for his career.
Yeah.
You know, it might be worth the wait. It might be worth the risk. The whole risk. Like, because even the messed up situation that it is right now is playing so much into Aspinall's favor. He's the fan, a lot of Jones fans have just jumped ship and jumped onto Aspinall, and they're all, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I just want to see the freaking fight happen, man. Like, we've been talking about it for so long. Now, to his credit, Dana did say, it's happening. Like, that's his exact words, not mine. It's just not at the stage where he's ready to announce it. So clearly they're still negotiating. Probably John Jones's salary and maybe the wait time is part of that. But, man, John is not getting younger. He's not getting younger. If he waits too long, I think it's actually to his detriment.
You know, 6 months seems like a lot, but most fights get 4 months worth of, you know.
But the thing is, Rob, is that Jones fought months ago, right?
Yeah.
So if he's saying 6 months from the time the contract is signed, how long is that? Like, is he saying it's a six-month camp? Because six-month camp would be crazy, I assume.
Yeah. It's tricky. I don't know.
Would you do a six-month camp? That just seems too much. It seems too much.
Yeah, well, I feel like I'd just be like bumming. I'd be like bumming three of them away before I start working.
That's pretty much right. Maybe at the very least, if you want to try and give John the benefit of the doubt, like, he sees Tommy as a genuine threat, and Tom is a big dude. Like, he's an actual legitimate heavyweight, and Jones isn't. He's a light heavyweight. So
No.
You don't reckon?
No.
His body's proportioned weird. I don't know.
Heavyweight Jones is massive, dude. He's so big.
But maybe he's looking to properly like bulk up in the right places. Like he took 3 years off with the whole Ngannou situation, and that's what he said he was going to do. So maybe he's doing a bit more of that.
Maybe.
Mm.
Well, or he's trolling.
I'd be so pissed off if he...
I'm just happy it's not my division, dude.
He's holding the division up, bro. I will say this. All right. If Jones does do him the dirty, just put Volkov in there. Pretend Volkov beat Gunn. I don't care what the judges said on that night. Do you agree with that? Do you agree?
Yeah, I want to see Volkov get a title shot. Like, yeah, very much so. I thought he was hard done by. That was a robbery.
I agree. That's a robbery.
Everything I said about like leaving to the judges, that was a robbery, man.
Yeah. I think that's one that everyone universally agrees that was a robbery.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Apparently, Jan Blachowicz won. It's because Jan has had so many of those close fights go against him, and I think people feel bad. I think that was the situation. You know what I mean? Yeah. But let's see what happens with Jones and Tommy Aspinall. Next up, let's talk about some games news. So by far the biggest news. Do you have to go to the bathroom, Rob?
No, I'm good. Okay.
Good. By the way, I'm getting YouTube at the moment. For us to put like ads at this point, we have to leave like 2 seconds of silence. It's becoming really hard for me to do. So like, that's where an ad's going to go. Next up, let's talk about Assassin's Creed
Shadows. That was weird, dude.
It's going to make sense when people watch it. They'll see the ad and it's like nothing happened. Assassin's Creed Shadows.
You got to leave this bit in. It's like, that's just for context.
I will. It's going to be very funny when the ad fits perfectly. This week, Assassin's Creed Shadows has come out. We've been talking about it for a little bit now. It's come out to decently strong reviews, 80 to an open critic, very positive on Steam. Apparently, it has some great stealth and combat mechanics, beautiful world design, and pretty stable, especially compared to Star Wars Outlaws, which was also a Ubisoft game. Pretty stable when it comes to performance and also bugs as well. In terms of negatives, story apparently is a little bit dull. It very much sticks to the same formula as Valhalla and Origins, which we expected from Ubisoft. The whole two protagonist thing is a bit weird because Yasuke, the second one, is not an assassin. He's a brute and he's used a bit more sparingly. And there's a bit of repetition, a bit of side content bloat. Rob, what do you think about Assassin's Creed Shadows? Are you going to give it a go?
No.
It's not convincing you?
I don't like sneaky boys, man. I don't like...
Oh, Yasuke could be up your alley then.
I don't like sleuthing through the shadows like a coward. I'm more of a... look you in the eye, kill you sort of fella, right? I jumped into Valhalla and stuff like that, but you know what? The same thing that has killed me for the entire series is just the fact that like someone's like VR playing him.
Mm.
That I cannot get over that at all.
Fair.
At all. Like,
but you have to think, Rob, that these like the whole VR thing, right? It's a way of telling stories across timelines. But these stories still happened, technically. You know? Like, they're not made-up memories.
I don't care. Why can't you just cut that part out and just let me run around as a Viking that I can just kill people with?
But you did. Who cares about the 2 seconds?
I don't know. You know what? I didn't like the combat. If it's the same formula as Valhalla, I didn't like the combat. I didn't like a lot of things.
Fair enough. I will say this, though. If you don't like being stealthy or whatever.
I'm waiting for Black Flags. I'll play.
You ready for the remaster? Yeah, I'll wait
for that. I like the idea of being a pirate and just raiding people.
Yeah, but Rob, if you don't like the whole stepping into a VR machine, Black Flag is notorious for that. You're like an office worker sitting down at a desk,
being a pirate. You got ships, man. There's ships and cannon fire and boarding people. It's cool, dude. They have to rework the loot system and like the boarding system from the first game though. If they don't mix that up, because I loved Black Flags until I realized there was no real point to raid people. Like there was no real point to be a pirate. And then I dropped it straight away.
So what I found when I played Black Flag, I don't know if you remember this, but I kept getting to points where these are part of the main story. You can't progress without doing this bit. And it's like, your ship is not powerful enough. Go away and come back. So you got to go away, do some stuff, upgrade your ship, and then do that area. Part of it was kind of necessary at times. And I don't know how I felt about that. You know what I mean?
I hate being gated by story. Yeah. Hate it.
Yeah.
Like, might be my number one hate of all things. Story gating me is no.
Do you have an example, another example where that really annoys you?
Monster Hunter Worlds. Monster Hunter Rise is like that. All the Monster Hunters are like that. Like, you can't get the HR hunts until you start the basic ones. Like, what if I don't want to do the easy ones? Like, what if I don't want to build crappy armor because I know I'm just going to be remaking it when I get to the high rank armor, you know? And
yeah.
That annoyed me. I like a little bit more freedom.
Has Monster Hunter, cause I only asked this because Fallout 76, which I'm playing still right now, introduced this thing where you can upgrade to level 50, I guess kind of like World of Warcraft. You pay a fee and then you just get a catch-up boosted level 50 character. Is there something like
really,
that in Monster Hunter?
Did Fallout 76 really do that?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Yeah. They did. Can I say this? All right, I'll defend them on that a little bit. If I want to be like, I want to start a second character. If I want to play as a ghoul, which they just introduced. Me, I know what I'm doing. Limited time. I don't have time to grind from 0 to 50. I'm jumping straight into the atomic shop, buying a level 50 character. Did they do it in WoW and all MMOs?
And I didn't
do
like it then either. Like,
yeah.
Well, where does it stop? What's to stop me from just buying your account for a decent amount? Then I don't have to farm anything.
It's against the terms of service, right?
Oh, is that it? Is that why? Oh, my bad. Sorry, I won't do it. You know what I mean? It's like, where does it stop?
I guess it stops there.
You know what you do, mate? You put on your big boy boots, you type in YouTube. Fastest way to level.
I used to make those guides. I know how to do it. You hit up
Lone Bolt Wanderer and you just start grinding, bro. You just start grinding because we did it. That's what I did. I called you up and you took me to the testing facility, the super mutant place.
West Tech.
And we stayed there for hours because that's what you do to level up, man.
Do you know what the way is now, Rob? It's doing end game raids. You could probably level up to level 50 in a matter of days. You get so much experience. It's actually crazy. Yeah. Like, even at level 8, I leveled from 700 to 830 in like a matter of 2 weeks. Oh, and wow. Even then, it's hard to get a lot of levels at that stage. You need so much XP.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
I really hate that method things. So I did it. I did it well. I did it.
Oh, so you did it yourself.
Yeah, but that's why I quit. Because they gave you a free one. They gave you a free level 50 character when the Death Knight came out, I want to say, so that you could jump straight into Death Knight, which is now we're talking 10 years ago, right? But, mate, you didn't form a connection with the character. You didn't form a connection with the skills. You didn't play the game. I don't know. Where does it stop? That's why, and another thing of mine, while we're talking about games, is that I don't really play games anymore that if you can control the world settings. So if you can jump in and change the rates of which things are dropped or the rates of which things are done by, because where does it stop and where does it start? Like, why should I spend 2 hours doing something when I can spend 10 minutes doing something?
What game does that as part of the base
almost
game? Is it like a side world?
Almost any open world game today.
But it's different if it's single player, man. If it's single player, who cares? If it's an MMO, like, you need a separate custom world to do that. But if it's single player, what does it matter? You know? Stick to the default.
Stop. Where does it stop? You know what I mean? Like, I jumped into Medieval Dynasty today.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game.
What we're watching, playing, and reading.
Yeah.
Go on.
Right, here we are. So I jumped into Medieval Dynasty with my mate, and I'm going to play it with him because it's more an exercise with my friendship. My wife keeps calling me. Hey, Sophia. I'm. Hey, beautiful. I'm just doing my podcast. I've got to go. It's all good. It's all right. Sorry, bye.
Is everything okay?
Yeah. They know. If they call me 3 times in a row, I'm going to pick up no matter what I'm doing. So But to her defense, like the reception, he's kind of average. So sometimes you don't even know. My phone's done a weird thing where it doesn't ring anymore. So like I press to call someone, and I have my ear to it, and then they'll just start speaking. Like, it doesn't ring.
That is weird. That is weird.
Medieval Dynasty. And you can jump into the world setting straight away, like how fast crops grow, how fast something. I didn't even look at it. I'm just leaving everything on default because the exercise is to play with my friend. So I'm actually looking forward. Maybe I can sneak in a cheeky hour after this.
See. All right.
Have you played Medieval Dynasty?
Nah, man.
Have you heard of that game called Bellwright? Bellwight?
Somewhere. Bell White?
White or Wright? It's one of those. I think it's Bell Wright.
I think it's Wright.
For people listening, it's similar to that, but.
Yeah, Bell Wright.
You're like a medieval dude, build houses, build a town, get a wife, have kids, kill stuff. I'm going to get my friend. So I'm playing with my friend, and I'm going to get him to be like the governor. He can build the city and do everything. And I'm going to be an absolute drunkard. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to be just a menace. I'm going to be drinking at a tavern constantly, beating on civilians. I cannot wait. He doesn't know this. Hopefully he doesn't listen to this. Doesn't listen to the podcast. But I cannot wait, bro. I can't wait. It's my whole motivation to playing the game. I'm pumped.
Why haven't you told him? Do you want to see the genuine shock in his eyes?
Nah, because if you tell someone he's going to be a menace, you know, you work around him. You expect it. I want to just be a menace. I want him to be like, who's bashing the villagers? I'm like, I don't know, dude. So I'm excited for that. Okay, I'm a simple man.
Far out, man.
I was playing Wilds for a bit, but I will say, maybe because it's just come out, right? But it's the end game's kind of bare bones. There's not a lot to do. Like I've kind of done everything. Granted,
already
I'm not an achievement hunter or anything like that, but I've got
my
build, I've got my gems, I can smash things, like I'm good. There's nothing for me to really strive for anymore.
So if they release DLC, like a raid or something, you jump back in, you try it out.
Well, they are going to release in their title update one, or they're going to release some new monsters. Definitely going to jump into them and smash it, I assume, because you have to be able to smash everything. Like that's
kind of agree.
So I'm going to do that. Yeah. The only thing that I haven't done is made like forge perfect Artian weapons, but like. Mm-hmm. I don't care if I kill the monster 20 seconds faster if it's going to take me 200 hours to re-roll modifiers. Like
I feel you.
Like
I feel you.
Monsters die too fast, like super fast anyway, so I don't care.
Yeah.
And I have a village to build. So what about yourself? You've been playing 76? Are ghouls as cool as you thought they would be?
All right. I'll be honest. So the way the mechanic works, right? You turn into a ghoul. You have certain negatives and positives. Way more positives. Ghoul is the end game way of playing the game. It is very powerful. Essentially, you don't have a hunger or thirst meter, and you have a feral meter. You need to consume chems to make sure you don't go feral. And the problem with that is you get addicted to those chems, so you got to manage that. So that's cool.
Excellent.
And then you have a mechanic where you need to get your rads up. You essentially have a second health bar that goes over your normal one. So you have a double health bar by keeping your rads up. When you get to max health, glow is essentially what it's called, you get a lot of benefits with that. All these perk cards pair with it. So for instance, when you're using VATS, you deal more damage in VATS because you have high glow. And obviously you're super tanky now. It's so powerful in raids, man. There's this end game snake boss where I'm just able to pop a few canned coffee and I'm just wrecking it with my big Gatling plasma. Weak spotting it in the eye, and we're killing that thing in like 20 seconds. It is, it's so cool, man. I actually really like playing as that.
Is it too strong? Is everyone doing it now?
If you're like hardcore into the game like me, you probably have the exact same build I have. It's like a VATS crit build, heavy guns, power armor, popping as much toxic goo to get your thing up, and you're killing pretty much everything. So, but the problem is, Rob, there's always going to be stuff like that. There's always and
what's the PvP like in 76?
Nah, no one does it anymore. No one does it
it's
anymore.
It's gone.
I don't think it's like technically gone, but like they had a PvP system, and they even had like a wanted system with the radio, and just no one used it. Everyone wanted to be friends in the game. Genuinely. Like, everyone just wanted to like drop paper bags or stim packs and be friendly with one another and just build their camp. So they kind of like stopped focusing on PvP.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's a cool system. Like, yeah. If you haven't jumped into 76 in a while and you want to be able to play differently, I would try being a ghoul. And there's more negatives as well. Like, your charisma sucks. You can't talk to people like the Brotherhood unless you have a disguise on. So there's a few different things going on and like 30 new perks.
I love features that change the entire way of playing the game. It's cool. Well done.
It's very much brought me back in. Yeah, so let us know what you're also playing in the comments below. Mm-hmm. But finally, the last segment is always viewer questions. Also, let us know if you have any viewer questions in the comments too. First up, we've got @DonWalks1. Hey, Rob, I know you read a lot of books as well and was wondering if you have a good reads list I can find somewhere. I think you should, Rob. You should have a good reads
list. I should, because I know really good books. So many good books. The best books, some could say. I don't though. I should make it though. Like,
I'm sure it's easy.
My Kindle's already connected to my Goodreads. Where is my phone?
Oh, so you do have a Goodreads.
Well, I think it's naturally connected to your Goodreads.
Does it build up a list of?
I don't know why I do this. I don't know when it started, but like, you know, like if you've got bad eyes, like, it's a habit.
Oh, you're becoming old, man. But dude,
I have 20/20 vision. There is no need for me to do that. But like, as soon as I unlock my phone, I instantly go.
Next up, you're going to start using your phone like this.
I think it's just a habit, dude. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think it's naturally connected.
Okay. Put it together. Whether it's not, you can Google a good reads list and easily
read
put one
13
together.
Titles this year.
Damn. That's impressive, man.
Not bad.
Yeah, we're only in March.
They're not the longest books. Yeah, I think it's naturally. I don't want people seeing what I'm reading, but sometimes they're a bit, how you going?
Well, put a curated list of books together for people.
Sometimes they're a bit sus. So
if you get 5 books, Rob, just 5, I'll put it in the community tab on the YouTube channel.
I'll tell you what, there was a book that, like, I don't know how it made me feel. Mm. It's, I forget what it's called. It was called... I'm scrolling.
Apparently, by the way, when you thought of that book last time, you said it was like Tucson or something. Apparently, it's Tucson.
Tucson, yeah. I found that out, I think, a week after because I was in the airport going to Vegas. Yeah. And they're like, planes or something, leaving for Tucson. And I was like, is that how you say it?
That's what it was.
Is that how you say it? This whole time. You're saying it wrong in my head. I can't find it now. But it was weird. Right. Don't worry about it.
If you can't think of the name of the book, it's hard to have an anecdote.
Yeah, but it was such a good book, though. It was such a good book. Like, I finished reading it, but I just don't know. I didn't
it
know
in
what
your
it was.
Good reads list. Do it.
No. So, but like the 3 minutes we've been talking, I think I come up with absolutely no content there. Like, I'm just yapping.
Okay. At this stage of the podcast,
for you, Don Walks, I'll look at putting together a list.
Good. 5 books. That's all I ask. 10 if you're feeling up.
Mate, just read the Calderon series, the Furies of Calderon. It's like a 5 or 6 book series. Done. So good. It's like Avatar for adults.
Hell yeah.
Not
I mean,
like,
Avatar's for adults too.
Not for like the blue avatars. It's like the kitty avatars with the elements and stuff. It's not for adults, bro.
If an Avatar movie came out right now, you wouldn't go watch?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, come on. Your kids would make you go, and then you'd watch it anyway.
Yeah, probably. Fair. I watched Wicked yesterday. That was a waste of time that was.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'll tell you about time I'm never getting back.
Genuine question for
another
you.
Another movie, don't know how it made me feel.
But can I ask you a question? This is going to be hard coming from me. Would you rather re-watch Wicked or UFC Fight Night London?
Like after the event?
After.
So like I know what's going to happen as well?
Right now.
No way. I'd watch Wicked twice probably. And I think it'd still be shorter. There's nothing. I don't know. There's nothing worse than watching a fight you know the ending to. Like I
I kind of.
Unless it's a banger. Unless it's like so cool.
You don't watch like old fights that you thought, that's just good. I just want to rewatch that, you know?
Never.
I just want to rewatch Rob Whittaker against Yoel.
The only fight, you know, I ever watch back and show my friends about it. And it's not even the whole fight. It's just like the minute and a half like time it happens is Chet Congo versus Pat Barry. That is
that's a throwback, bro.
The best minute 15 or whatever. Dude, it's so cool. I just love seeing it. I also like, I always say that. But yeah.
All right. Next up, we got at YSarah86. Rob, do you play controller or mouse and keyboard in Monster Hunter? As a gamer and an MMA fan, listening to you chat and get excited about games is awesome. Good luck in your next fight.
Yeah, I play most sort of Souls-ish type games, like third-person games with a controller. And I play first-person games with a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next question is from at Duckless. Now, this was in reference to you saying you wanted to fight Sean Strickland.
Okay.
They ask, didn't Izzy say he wanted Sean? And the reason why I wanted to bring it up is because Izzy said that before the Amavo fight. Mm-hmm. I think the situation has changed now.
Potentially. But we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah. But I would still like to see you and Sean fight. And last, we've got at Bem We Dude. Jesus. Rob and Johnny, do you have any interest in platinuming games? And if you have already, what have you platinumed and why?
So, absolutely not. I watch platinum videos to go to sleep at night.
Oh, really?
They just seem punishing. Like,
they're brutal, man.
Yeah.
I went through a phase where I would only play games that I could realistically 100%. I'm not talking about, if it's 200 hours, I wouldn't do it. I would. But you know how some games have the multiplayer achievements or the one that's just effed up to try and get?
Yeah.
I would not touch those games sinks. With the 10-foot
they're
pole.
They're just time sinks.
Or they're just like fundamentally unfair. Like you've got to play through the game three times.
Yeah,
or something.
They're the ones I like watching online because it's like the dude's just suffering. Like, just suffering. Like, this is my, I love it. But yeah. No way. I won't play a game unless I can play it a certain way.
Okay. I tell you what, right now, I do not care about achievements whatsoever. Like, I put 800 hours or whatever into Fallout 76, and I still barely touch half the achievements. I've done it. I've done my time. I completely got all the achievements for Fallout 4, pretty much all the Fallout games, to be honest.
But then, like,
Assassin's Creed.
Once you start chasing achievements and stuff, you lose sight of the character you made.
I agree.
You know what I mean? It's like,
yep.
I want a character that doesn't do X, Y, and Z, and you can't get those trophies unless you do. You know what I mean?
Can I tell you what was a game that did really well with trophies? Like, I finished the game normally and naturally, and I had like 6 or 7 trophies that I needed to wrap up, and they were quite easy to do within like an hour.
Which,
you want to know what game that was?
Right. Astrobot.
Astrobot! It did so well with it. I platinumed Astrobot because they made it not easy, but approachable. Like, you finish the main game.
Because it's a muck around game.
Like, exactly.
Really play to feel good and muck around.
And what's wrong with that?
It's great. It's great.
It's fantastic.
If we hadn't said it before, if you're new to the podcast, Astrobot is our number one pick on the
game
cast.
Of the year. Last year.
Game of every year. It's so like, it's the only game that and Crash Bandicoot where my kids will ask me for help and I'll actually go over and help them.
That's sick, man. I'm so glad you got to Astrobot. I thought I was just like, you know, nerding out about it, but
Astrobot's
then you did.
Great. It plays so well. So much fun.
Yeah. But Rob, that was episode 61 of the MM Arcade podcast. If you're still watching or listening at this point, thank you so much. And as always, Rob, closing thoughts for the podcast.
Yeah, again, much like what I said at the beginning, thank you very much to everybody that understands the podcast, supports us in the podcast, and comments down the bottom to show that love. I feel it. Quick tidbit, but if you cut a little bit of something I say and don't give any, like, none of the context before or after and then post it on Reddit, you suck. You suck.
Rob.
You suck real bad.
Okay. Can I close on this?
Yeah.
What was it? Somebody on Twitter, they cut the bit where you were talking about
Anchor Live. About,
I think it was, it was, yeah.
And about it, how it took away his boogeyman vibes, et cetera, et cetera.
No, it was another one where we were talking about this hypothetical fight. If Khamzat, I think it was if Khamzat fought either Sean or Drickus, and I was like, I asked you who would win. And your answer was like, straight away, Khamzat Chimaev, easy. And then you backtracked on it immediately and you gave a more thoughtful answer. Like, actually, yeah, it wouldn't be that easy. Someone cut that bit of you just saying, it's easy. And that was the quote. I was so pissed off for you.
Yeah.
I was like, that's dodgy, dude, man.
Because like, I see it on Reddit as well. People cut stuff up and just throw it up there. And then I see our fans and supporters in the mm-hmm. comments saying, like, you're not giving any of the context, because we're very lighthearted here. There'll be, there's heaps of crap I say where I instantly I'm like, no, hold on.
And you backtrack immediately.
My mouth. But yeah, don't do that. have a good one, guys.
Take care, guys.